It is so good to see everybody who is here this morning. We do have a few people that are visiting. You're our most welcome, our most honored guest. It is always our intention to make you feel so welcome that you want to come back and worship God together with us whenever you're able to come and be with us. I do the very best I can to try to keep my finger on the pulse of this congregation. And that is to be conscious of where I'm sensing that you are. And if sometimes I'm really struggling and I can't really quite figure it out, I finally just go, Linda, what do I need to preach on? And I have found that my wife usually is also sensitive to your needs. I've actually preached on this subject before, but this is not the exact same sermon, but it's the same subject. And as you can see from the title of the outline, it's encouraging the exhausted and strengthening the feeble. The reason I'm working on this sermon and preaching it this morning is because I sense that there are brethren who are exhausted. I told y'all before, one of my concerns about COVID was the pressure, especially on the teachers and the people in the medical field, and how much pressure it was putting on them and stress it was putting on them. Now, I do recognize that we're coming to the close of the school year. And coming to the close of the school year, everything is due, everything is going on, and so the teachers are go, 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 go all the way down the stretch. And then all of you students have got exams, 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 finals, finals, finals. And so I'm sure a lot of you are physically exhausted. And it may not just be physical exhaustion, sometimes it's emotional exhaustion. And you're getting hit by trials one after another. I'd like to open the sermon this morning by going over to Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 28 to 29. Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people are greater and taller than we. The cities are great and fortified up to heaven. Moreover, we have seen the sons of Anakim there. Then I said to them, do not be terrified or afraid of them. In the context here, you're dealing with the time when the children of Israel have sent 12 spies into the land of Canaan to spy out the land. And 10 spies brought back what the text describes as a bad report. And I want you to see what they're talking about here. They're talking about how the people are greater, they're taller than we are, the cities are fortified, they're walled all the way up to heaven. Then you've got the sons of the Anakim there, they're really big giants. Now let me ask you, is this report actually true, though? Yes, it is. There were many cities, and the cities were walled, and there were a lot of people, and many of them were extremely big giants. And so when the people were hearing this information one after another, what happened to them is they became discouraged. Whenever I read this text, I sometimes think about how in our own world today, if you're listening to the news and watching the news, it seems like bad report, bad information, more trouble, more problems, and it can come in waves. And so sometimes just simply because of what's going on in the world around you, it can cause you to become afraid, can cause you to become anxious, can cause you to become discouraged. Over in Job chapter 1 and verse 16. You find a phrase here that you're going to see several times in this chapter, and the phrase is simply this, while he was still speaking. And then when you go to verse 17, the very next verse, while he was still speaking. Then verse 18, while he was still speaking. In the book of Job, Satan is allowed to test Job's faith. God allows Satan to do what he did to Job. And you have one servant coming and bringing bad news to Job, how a portion of his flocks were taken away. And while he was still speaking, here comes another servant with more bad news. Yes, another part of your flocks were stolen. And while he was still speaking, here comes another servant. Yes, and the rest of your flocks, they were also destroyed. And then while he was still speaking, here comes another servant and he says, all 10 of your children are dead. Oh, now do you understand something from this text here? When Satan hits people, to try to tear them down, to get them to draw back from God in anger. He will attack them in their finances, and he will attack them in their health. He will attack them in their family. He will attack them through the death of their loved ones. And he attacks in waves. Do you see that? To where, boom, bad news. Boom, more bad news. Boom, more bad news. And it just seems to come in waves. That's the way life is sometimes. And so if that's describing you and you feel like you're being hit in waves and you're hearing bad news and more bad news, and because of this, you find yourself discouraged. You find yourself physically and emotionally exhausted, and it's difficult to accomplish tasks because of how tired you are. This sermon's for you. Over in Isaiah chapter 35, verses 3 through 4, it says, "Encourage the exhausted, strengthen the feeble. Say to those with anxious heart, take courage, fear not." Okay. I want you to see here in the text, he talks about those that are exhausted, and he talks about those that are feeble, and he talks about those that are anxious. And he says here what we need to do for them. Those that are exhausted, you encourage them. Those that are feeble, you work to strengthen them. Those that are anxious and afraid, you tell them, take courage, don't be afraid. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 3, it says, "But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men." Here we're talking about the prophets during the time in the church when God spoke directly through the prophets to the local congregation. We do not have prophets today. What we have is the written revelation of the Word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, he says, "Preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching." The work of the prophets when they were speaking to the congregation was to edify them, to build them up, to exhort them, to comfort them. And then the preachers and the evangelists are told to preach the word, and a part of that was doing exhorting. That's what this sermon is. This sermon is me fulfilling the command to preach the word and to exhort you, to encourage you, to strengthen you, to help you hopefully not be afraid because of what is actually going on out in the world, because of what you are being hit with. We're not trying to deny the problems that are out in the world. We're not trying to deny your problems. We're trying to encourage you, even though those things are true and they are happening. My job as a preacher is to know the scriptures well enough to do this. And so what I'm going to be doing is going into the Word of God and pulling scriptures out of the Word of God that will hopefully strengthen you, hopefully build you up, hopefully encourage you, hopefully help you. In Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, "Therefore he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart." You see that phrase, lose heart? When you lose heart, basically you got nothing left to give. You got nothing that you can do. You're whipped, you're spent, you got nothing else. You have no heart to drive you, no strength to drive you. So what do you do about that? Pray. By the way, thank you, Jason, for the songs. Early, do it early. When Job lost everything and he heard the bad news, what did he do? Immediately, he went to the ground and prayed to God. He went to God immediately. That's the lesson we have to learn for ourselves. When you sense I'm being hit by Satan, when you sense and you are aware it's coming in waves especially, and you realize this is an attack, run to God as quick as you can. Go to God as quick as you can. Go to God in prayer and pray for strength, pray for guidance, pray that you'll be able to make it through it. But go to God as quick as you can. You know this next text I'm showing you in Philippians chapter 4, 6 through 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. All right, do you see the text here? He begins by saying, be anxious for nothing. There's a struggle, isn't it? Because there's all kinds of things that are out there that can cause you to become afraid and discouraged and upset to make it difficult for you to function. And so he begins right off the bat by saying, don't be anxious for anything. But what do? You take it to God in prayer. In everything, it doesn't matter how big it is, it doesn't matter how small it is, take it to God in prayer. But listen real close, brethren, this is so important. It has to be a prayer of faith. You have to know with no doubting that God is hearing your prayers, that God loves you, and that God will answer your prayers. A prayer of doubting is not going to do you any good at all. You go to God immediately, and you go to God in a prayer of faith, and the prayer of faith, that's where this peace of God that passes all understanding comes from. It comes from you knowing with no doubt God loves me, God hears my prayers, and God will answer my prayers. I'm not alone. You know where a lot of the fear comes from, brethren? Is when we think we are alone. And when we think, I've got to handle all of this by myself. I've got to carry the load. I've got to deal with this. I've got to fix it by myself. If you think you are alone in this world with all the craziness going on out there, with you being hit in waves, if you think you are alone, you are probably afraid right now. And I'm going to tell you, you'll never get past the fear until you have faith that God actually is there and that he's hearing your prayers and will answer them. Psalm says in 138 verse 3, in the day that I called, you answered me. You encouraged me with strength in my soul. So here you have an individual going to God in prayer, and he's going to God in prayer, and he's realizing, you answered my prayers. You answered them. Brethren, I can't begin to tell you how many times I've gone to God in prayer and seen the answer. And when you see prayers being answered, this should give you encouragement. This should give you strength because you realize he is there. He did hear my prayer. He answered my prayer. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say it. You asked us to do it, David. You asked us not to pray that Paul would get well. And so I went the other way. And I prayed, Father, if it is your will, allow him to pass quickly and without pain. And several of us, I know, were praying the same thing. And several of us made the same observation. Wow, that was quick. That was real quick. Wow, he just fell asleep and went out easy. Now, brother, when you pray and you pray that specifically and it happens exactly like you requested, you don't go, well, what a coincidence. Brethren, I believe God hears our prayers. And when I believe God hears my prayers, it is from that confidence that I know he's hearing my prayers. I know he's answering my prayers. I see him answering my prayers, that you draw strength, because then you realize I'm not alone. He really is there, and he really is in my life, and he really is responding to my prayers and supplications. Brethren, that's where the strength comes from. That's where the encouragement comes from you being finally conscious of the seriousness and the reality of the relationship that you do have with God. Deuteronomy now, chapter 31, verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. You're going to find that this is what Moses, through the Holy Spirit, told Joshua. You're going to be seeing this is what Joshua told the children of Israel. This is what David told Solomon. Look at this. Joshua 1:9. Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Wait a minute. That's the same thing? Pretty much it, isn't it? It's the same message. So why should we be strong? Why should we have courage? Why should we not be afraid and not be dismayed? One simple question, one simple answer right here. God's with you wherever you go. God is with you wherever you go. See the same thing, 1 Chronicles 28:20. And David said to his son Solomon, be strong and of good courage, and do it. And do not fear nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, my God, will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Isn't that the same message three times? Yes, it is. It's the exact same message. That's what Moses said to Joshua. That's what Joshua said to the children of Israel. That's what David said to Solomon. So, I think it's the same thing we should learn for ourselves. We can have courage. We can have strength. Why was it that David was able to go fight Goliath? Because he was a great warrior, right? No. He understood when he was going up against Goliath that God was with him. He understood that the battle was the Lord's. He was just simply an instrument through whom God was going to deliver the giant in the war. Brethren, we need to have that same faith always. Regardless of what we're facing, regardless of what we're going through, knowing that God is with us. I can't do this sermon without going here. It's impossible. Isaiah 41:10, notice the way the verse begins. Fear not, for I am with you. Okay, I can't go a step further until I ask all of us this question. Do you believe what that says right there? Do you believe in your heart right now, Johnny on the spot, with no doubt whatsoever, that God is with you? If you answer that question, well, he might be. I'm not going to get it. I'm not going to get it. If you say, no, I don't think so, you're going to be afraid. If you don't think God is with you, if you think he might be with you, you are going to continue to struggle with fear. And the fear will wear you down real quick, folks. Fear is like chains. It makes it to where it's difficult to function. Here, God is trying to show us how to get the chains of fear off. That's what Moses told Joshua. That's what Joshua told the children of Israel. That's what David told Solomon. And that is, don't be afraid. Have courage. God is with you. You know Psalms 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you're a big ram. Because you're strong. You're awesome. No, no, no. It ain't got anything to do with me. I'm a wimp. I'm a worm. God is with me. God is with me. Let that sink into you and your mind with no doubt. God is with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Look at the very beginning of this next phrase. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Do you see the pronoun there? I. God will strengthen me. God says, yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Brethren, we have to know this verse and believe it with absolutely no doubt whatsoever. So exactly where are you in that? If you're struggling with saying you believe the verse, then there's the problem. And you will never get past the problem until you get to the level of the faith that God wants you to have, of just trusting Him. If He says He is and says He will, then He is, and He will do exactly what He says He will do. Psalm 27, verse 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. All right, let's get back to prayer. How many of you, when you pray, you ever pray, and you may not say it in words, but it's in your thoughts. Father, please do this for me. Please do this. Let this come to pass. And you don't say the words, but your thoughts are, I kind of like that, you know, quickly. As soon as possible. Yeah, okay, that's me. Because when I'm praying for things and they're really pressing down on me, I would like the pressure to be taken off. I like the problem to be dealt with and dealt with quickly. Wait on the Lord. Waiting is difficult, isn't it? How difficult was it for Sarah? When God had told Abraham, yes, I'm going to bless you with a son. How many times do you think Sarah went to God and prayed for a son? We don't know. We don't know. But I know the way women are. I know the way the scriptures show it. Women like Sarah and Rebecca and Rachel and Elizabeth, who didn't have a child, what they want more than anything. Their instinctive drive as a woman, I want a baby, I want a child. And it went on for not just years, brethren. It went on for decades with Sarah. Have you ever read Rebecca's talking to Isaac and saying, give me a child or else I die? That wasn't Rebecca. That was Rachel, wasn't it? Thank you. My brain said, wrong person. Rachel to Jacob, give me a child or else I die. That's the way she felt. They all had to wait. But in God's time, God gave them what they prayed for. We have to wait sometime. But you need to know this. If you have to wait, when God answers, it's going to be in God's time and God's going to bless you where He sees you need to be blessed at His time. This is something I've had to learn a long time ago. It's not always about me. I always make everything about me because, well, it's my life. But a lot of the things I'm going to God and praying about, quite frankly, I have had to learn through my life. It wasn't about me, folks. I prayed for a wife every single night of my life when I was about 25, from that day forward. And I finally got to the point after 5 or 6 years, I thought, nope, nope, nope. The answer just finally is no. And as soon as I thought it was no, and I told somebody it was no, I met this girl. Her name was Linda. And the answer was, you just had to wait. I am so glad God made me wait. I could not imagine my life without Linda. And I could not imagine my life without all three of my children and my grandchildren. It was not about me. Yeah, it was part of my life, yes, but it had to do with other things that were going to be coming through me in the future. It wasn't about Sarah. It was about the child that was going to come through Sarah. How Isaac was going to be the individual, ultimately, where the Christ was going to come. Do you see? It goes on and on and on. It wasn't about Rachel. It was about who was going to come through Rachel. So let God do it in His time and wait patiently on the Lord. And when the blessing does come. There's a proverb that became my main proverb. Hope deferred makes the heart stoop. But when it comes, this tree of life. How big is the tree of life going to be to you and me? Whoa, that means we're in heaven. That means we're with God, and it doesn't get any better than that. So when the blessing does come, thank the Lord and draw strength from it and draw comfort from it when you realize He really is with me. He really hears my prayers and is answering. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11. Encourage one another and build up one another just as you also are doing. What we've been talking about so far in the sermon is strength and encouragement from our relationship with God. And by the way, that has to come first. Now I want to talk to you about strength and encouragement from one another. You see how that works? First, God, and also your spiritual family. The next verse here, going back to Isaiah 35:3-4, encourage the exhausted, strengthen the feeble, say to those with anxious heart, take courage, fear not. Now what I want to do is show you these two verses side by side, okay? From 1 Thessalonians 5:14, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak. So you got Isaiah, encourage the exhausted. You got Thessalonians, encourage the faint-hearted. Hey, isn't that saying the same thing? Yeah. Encourage the exhausted in Isaiah, encourage the faint-hearted in Thessalonians. Going back to Isaiah, strengthen the feeble. Back to Thessalonians, help the weak. Yeah. Same lesson, isn't it? Same concept. So, this is talking to us. It's talking to us about what we do when we recognize there is a brother, there is a sister, and he or she, they are exhausted. They are weak. They are feeble. They are struggling. It's difficult for them to keep going. What we are supposed to do as their spiritual family is get in there as quick as we can and do the best we can to strengthen them, to encourage them, to help them. Do you see this exact same thing that we learned earlier about our relationship with God? How God strengthens us, how God helps us, how God makes us have courage. He wants us now to learn to do the same thing with our brethren. Hebrews 3:13-14. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Okay. You get discouraged because of physical trials that are hitting you. I know this for a fact. Every single one of us that are here this morning are being hit by physical trials. Not only are you being hit by physical trials, you're being hit by emotional trials. I was telling Callie, I feel like I'm surrounded by death this week. It seems that right and left is coming at me. Okay, that's going to hit you in your emotions when it hits you one after another. And then Satan won't leave us alone. He keeps on tempting us. There's the spiritual trials. And when you lose battles spiritually, folks, that can beat you down emotionally because you're so angry at yourself, so discouraged at yourself that you lost a battle again. And so you see here the emphasis of brethren having such a close relationship with one another that if someone is discouraged, we exhort them and encourage them while it's called today. Do you see the emphasis today? While it's called today. When you realize someone is going through a difficult time, you do not pass by on the other side. As quickly as you can, you come to their aid, you strengthen them, you help them carry their burdens, you help them deal with their trial, whatever it is they're going through. Can you not see that's Christianity in a nutshell of what the Lord wants us to do in our relationship with each other? Exhort one another daily. And if someone is struggling with sin, you even encourage them to come out of it and to stand fast. But look at the very last of this now. Hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Satan thought he could get Job to curse God to his face. Didn't work what he did. One of my favorite verses out of the book of Job is this. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And that's what God wants from us. He wants us to trust him unconditionally of what we're going through in this life. But he wants us to hold on to that trust all the way to the end of our life. The book of Hebrews is kind of discouraging in parts. It talks about people drawing back in unbelief because of the sufferings and the trials they're going through. Folks, that was a terrible time in history. The Judean Wars and the destruction of Jerusalem with over 1 million people killed in Jerusalem alone. Yeah, I can see how it's difficult on you. And he was telling about how people are going to be drawing back in unbelief. Satan knows that people get angry at God and draw back in unbelief because of the trials of life. Because we get beat down, because we get discouraged to the point to where we say, forget it. Hold on to your faith in the storm. Hold on to your faith in the trials. Hold on to your faith in the craziness of our world. Hold on when you're hit by waves. Trust him all the way to the end. Die with your faith and your relationship in God totally intact. Galatians says in 6 and 9, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Here's that phrase again. Losing heart. You heard somebody say, that guy's got heart. What that means is he's got strength to get in there and get after it. What does it mean to lose heart? You have no strength anymore. You can't get in and you can't get after it. It's difficult for you to function. And so he says, you're talking to Christians, don't grow weary while doing good. Do you know that you can get weary because there's so many things that are going wrong? There are. I got some bad news for you. You can't carry it all. You can't fix it all. All we can do is care about one another, encourage one another to the best we can with what we got where we are. But you need to realize, if you're helping somebody and you're doing some good works, it's not like, okay, that's done. I ain't going to do that anymore. You remember the waves? Boom, boom, boom. Okay. Not only are you being hit in waves, but the people around you are being hit in waves. So what I'm trying to teach you is this. We draw strength from God. When you get beat down and you're burned out and you need strength, learn to go to God first. Draw strength from God. Pray to God. Take it to God in prayer. And then when you have drawn strength from God, you turn around and strengthen one another. I kind of think of it sometimes as these batteries we've got in this thing. These batteries that keep going dead. You know what we got to do with the batteries that keep going dead? You got to recharge them, don't you? Yeah. Okay. There's nothing wrong with you when you need recharging, okay? There's nothing wrong with you if you get discouraged and exhausted at times, okay? You are a human being. That's part of being human. What you need to learn to do is plug into God. Draw strength from God. You can't give what you hadn't got. And when the battery ain't got any more strength, you got to plug it in. When you ain't got any more strength, plug in. Plug into God. however long it takes, you draw strength from God. You pray to God. You go to the Word of God. You meditate on the Word of God. And then you get back into doing good works. Because in due season, we're going to reap. There's going to be a harvest. And you know what the harvest is, brethren? The harvest is all of us crossing the finish line because we all kept our faith all the way to the end. Is that not the harvest we're after? The harvest we're after is, I don't want you to burn up in your trials. I don't want you to draw back in unbelief. I don't want you to be lost because you're so discouraged and you're burnt out, you quit. I want to make it, and I want to help you to make it. That has to be our relationship with God and each other. And hopefully by doing that, drawing strength from God, not letting go of God, trusting God regardless of what happens to me, I can draw strength from Him and ultimately be with Him and help people who are also going through the same struggles in life. Help them to keep going forward. The last sermon, the last verse in this sermon is yours. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Outward man is perishing. How many of you figured out you're getting old? How many of you figured out I can't do what I used to do? And even when I do a little bit, it takes me days to get over it. Okay. The outward man is perishing. And notice what he says about that. Do not lose heart. There's that phrase again. Isn't it amazing? It just keeps popping up. Don't lose heart. Yeah, the outward man's perishing. Yeah, we're getting older. But even though we're getting older, we're being renewed day by day because we're plugging into God day by day. And we have a strong relationship with God. And even though our body may be spent at the end, we're ready and anxious to finally finish our race and be with God. Press on with your faith all the way to the end. All the way. Don't lose heart. A very simple lesson, summarizing it now. First, we all get discouraged. We all struggle sometimes physically. We all struggle sometimes emotionally. We all struggle sometimes spiritually. That's reality. And sometimes the struggle is even more difficult than other times. Sometimes it does come in waves and seem like it's just beating you down. What do we do about that reality? The first and the most important thing that we have to learn from the sermon this morning is our relationship with God and how that we need to run to Him, to draw strength from Him, to pray to Him with a prayer of faith and no doubting, to not doubt that He's with us, that He's answering our prayers, that He will help me, He will strengthen me, He will uphold me with His righteous right hand. And it has to be with no doubt, because as long as you doubt, you're going to continue to struggle with all of these. You will never get past it until you get to the point of knowing with no doubt God is with you and learning to draw strength from Him from the confidence of that relationship. And then as brethren, strengthen one another. And then do it again. And do it again and again and again. Why? Because that's how often we need it. Exhort one another daily. Because we're being hit daily. And we're struggling daily. And so we need one another daily. And when you feel yourself burning out because you've been helping others daily, plug into God. However long it takes you to draw strength from your God in praying to Him and going to His Word and meditating on it, take care of yourself. You can't give what you hadn't got. And if you're burnt out, learn to recharge. And then once you got the charge back, go strengthen others. With the ultimate goal always in mind, the ultimate goal is to finish with our faith all the way to the end and helping as many as we can along the way that they will make it to the end and ultimately be with God in the end. I thank you for your kind attention. If there's anybody here this morning who is not in Christ yet, it is our fervent hope and desire and prayer that you will obey the gospel even this morning. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, be willing to openly confess your faith. And motivated by your faith, make the commitment of repentance, that is to follow the Word of God by faith in your life, and we'll be glad to assist you and baptize you into the body of Christ for the remission of your sins. If you are in Christ already and you realize there is sin between you and your God that you have not dealt with, we want to encourage you to take it to God, confess it to Him, and turn from it. We as your family will be there for you. We will do the best we can to exhort you and encourage you daily to stand stronger in the future than you have in the past. If you're subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know where we stand and sing the song that has been selected.